Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Good morning. It's running commentary.
Good morning.
Today, grey but lovely temperature.
It's all right. Yeah, it's not a bad
temperature. It's great running conditions, let's face it. And
it's not so long ago since we saw each other, is it?
No, because we had our extra little parkrun adventure.
Bit of extra content.
For you guys.
Yeah, bit of extra content on a Tuesday.
But I noticed you were putting some time in on your stretches this morning, which is good, of course, but did you have some calf impact after the parkrun?
No, I mean, I'm trying to... I did that on Sunday, and then yesterday I ran sort of 7-8 miles. I'm just starting to up things a little bit.
Yes.
And I've just got to be careful. I'm at that stage where I can think, oh, I'm sort of getting back now, so I can really ramp it up and recent experience has taught me it's quite a dangerous period, you know.
Yeah.
So I've got to try and look after myself during
Well, we're going to take it easy and also reset today with a lovely tootle, of course, up the Parkland Walk through Queenswood and Highgate Wood, and
nice and wet.
I'd say the conditions are good. There's been torrential rain, but that's sort of flash floody. It doesn't lead to mud in particular. You just get to certain bits of the path, and they're not there anymore because they got washed away.
Yeah, there was a couple of weeks it happened, and there was flash flooding, sort of around shops and stuff in Crouch End. But this time, I didn't see any evidence, and I know that because I drove around looking for it. So I was so excited about the idea of flooding. I went around at the peak of it. Talk about being bored on a Sunday. But we seem to be in a kind of slightly boom bus cycle with the weather, don't
we? Yeah. Should we go up this? Let's avoid this.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
There's some work going on the Parkland Walk here.
Lots of runners.
Yeah, completely. It's like the weather wants to burst.
Yeah.
But it kind of just goes around again. I was thinking about Rear Window.
Yeah.
I always think of Rear Window. It's very hot. It's very the hot summer is a key element in James Stewart being stuck there in his cast.
Yeah.
But early on in the film.
Should we go back down or
down here? Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
It pours with rain. Yeah, I see what you mean because we're not really past it, are we?
Not quite. No.
It's quite noisy.
Into the vapour, the industrial vapour.
Turned out.
I was slightly.
I had a mask in my pocket.
Yeah, so I was slightly worried because we went into a bit of white vapour, sort of from the stones or the cement mixer or whatever. Then I saw a guy with his face in the mixer as he poured the dust into it.
Yeah, he loved it.
Puts in a bit of perspective.
He's making some kind of asbestos paste.
and mixing it with his beard.
But early on in Rear Window, it pours with rain. And it's a fantastic character, Thelma Ritter, the insurance company physiotherapist.
Yeah.
She says, I thought that the rain would cool things down, but it just made the heat wet.
Yeah, it's been... we're coming off the back of the park run, which we chatted about, but it's worth reiterating that how enjoyable it was.
Yes.
To do it as a sort of to think that that can become part of the week's training.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, you know.
The funny thing is, I totally was having a massive daydream about next week, next Saturday. Like, yeah. What am I going to do next week? Should I go to the same one, go to a different one, do a long run to it?
Yeah.
What do I want out of it, you know? And then I realised that I can't go next week because I've got a early trip up to Oxford to pick up my daughter.
All right.
And so okay. Park runs back 1 week. And yeah. Immediately the second week I'm going, oh, I can't go.
Do it. Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's not fair.
Can't do it. Well, I'll be up north, actually, so I'll be looking for one near Thirsk. So.
Well, you know what they're like up north. That's the real ones. They're a lot harder. Yeah. It's further.
Yeah, just straight up a cliff. How is it 7K? You got a problem?
Don't forget your pigeon.
How's your daughter getting on?
Oh, great. Yeah, it's...
Just to recap, she's doing PPE. She's doing 2 weeks.
She's getting to a week and a half into 2 weeks, an Oxford College studying with the great and the good.
Amazing.
And it's been incredible. And hey, hi. It's really, high-end, relentless and really impressive stuff.
Yeah.
But with a nice kind of sprinkle of the surreal.
Right.
And perhaps predictably, but maybe not for her. She did fall off a punt one day last week.
Okay.
And then there was the bit where they were dealing with sexism on the actual course.
Right.
And which led to the people running the course giving a massive apology and the person in charge saying, I can resign if you want.
Right.
And,
okay.
and then they had, do you remember Tony Abbott?
Yes.
The right wing and also kind of questionable skills. Ran Australia for a little while.
Yes, Aussie PM, yeah.
Well, he was one of their speakers yesterday.
Wow. Wow.
And, of course, they've got that thing, which I remember from trips when I was that age, is that all that is against a palate of all the kids are knackered.
Yeah.
Because they just haven't stopped.
Yes,
so
yeah.
So 9 days in, they're like, is this a cheese dream?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, in Daisy's case, can't be possible because she's vegan.
So it's all... It's lectures, it's seminars, it's
and
discussion.
A lot of them flow on, so they have start off with these kind of, philosophical, at different levels, from philosophy to theory, kind of set up a kind of precept.
Yeah.
And then have talks and things and then come back to it, so they all feed into each other. It's high-level discussion all the way.
It's amazing.
Which for it's her birthday this week, she's going to be 15, so... Also,
it's pretty
washing your own clothes and making sure you get dinner is all exciting stuff for her.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's extreme.
It's been great. It's
been
good.
Quite an extreme experience. I mean, it's an amazing course for the PP at Oxford, isn't it? It's
It's
basically, do you fancy running the world? Here's how to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
And that comes in with all the, any of the social politics and politics of the internet you can think of from the last little while. There's a lot of that. I love that about,
Has she made any mates?
She's got some friends. She said, my friend did this, my friend did that.
Right.
But I think there's a... I don't know. I think she keeps a sensible distance.
Right.
I think she's quite diplomatic about the whole thing. And she's got such good, really good close friends at home.
Yeah.
I think there's a kind of healthy... I think she's very wise in terms of keeping herself kind of... balance, what I mean?
Right.
It's the same as not necessarily agreeing with the lecturers. You don't necessarily completely fall in with the philosophy of the course, and you don't necessarily completely fall in with the people on the course.
Yeah.
Because you don't want those rugs to go flipping away, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think she's keeping something. She knows that time back in her little college room is important time,
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's great.
And did you...
Sometimes I think that it leads to me and my wife being quite silly.
Right.
Because our son is quite... He's quite unto himself. Doesn't take much looking after.
So
and we're a bit kind of off the leash.
You're left to your own devices.
It's a bit like when the kids were tiny.
Right.
I remember when they were first, babysat and we'd go off and you think you'd be all sad and worried about them. But instead you can find yourself a bit giddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember being in a Thai restaurant. Stone Newington Church Street, and we were like the only people in there, and people who worked there must have thought, well, what's going on with these people? They're like going, knocking things over, running up and down the stairs. Generally just getting a bit overexcited.
We've had a bit.
What about you? What's the... Because I wanted to ask after, and I know listeners will want to know how things are with George after...
We've had a little bit of drama with George. Last time we did this, he'd taken a hit in his eye with a tennis ball about 5 yards away, a smash. Ooh. Completely unintentional, right into his eye.
Yeah.
Came home, black eye, feeling a little bit blurred vision, went to A&E. They said go to the Royal Free Hospital the next day. Went there, and then he rang me at like 3 p.m. really upset, just saying, they said my eye will never get better, and there's a chance he might be permanently affected in his left eye.
Right.
He's got a dilated pupil that's very sensitive to light.
Right, yeah.
He's had headaches. He's getting better. The good news is his vision's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It might have set him up possibly for problems late in life. It's all too early to say. It is a muscle in your eye. The pupil is a muscle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you'd hope it could...
It could recover.
It could recover, but there's no guarantees. And I think... I'm not sure whether it is policy, but I've heard it from a few people that they tend to give you the extreme end of the spectrum first.
To prepare you for it.
To prepare you and just to avoid insinuations that they didn't get it right or whatever.
Yeah,
or,
you know. Right, right. So you've got to wait and see.
We've got to wait and see, but it's a bit disturbed. He's wearing sunglasses around the house.
Yeah.
He's trying to avoid bright light. It's a little bit...
It's a bit of a shock, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think things go wrong in life, don't they?
Yeah. I'm not making light of it, but just to make sense of it, it's the David Bowie thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It could be that you have different pupils like David Bowie did, because he was in a fight with his best mate at school.
Right.
And it was, you know, that was a fight, but it was still like, you know,
yeah.
They stayed mates, put it that way.
It's blunt trauma to the eye, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, he's looking up tennis courts today, so it's not that bad. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Get back on the horses.
But I don't think his net game will be quite as aggressive. He's very resilient, and people...
Apparently so.
And in the world that we live in now, people aren't going to judge you for having a weird-looking eye.
No, no. No, and I think, you know, on the one hand, you don't want to say, oh, it's it now forever. But if it is that it now forever, it will be okay.
Yes.
You know, he is... Psychologically and physically, he'll get used to that.
He's a robust, optimistic character. I mean, he's still going to festivals. He's still going to tennis. Yeah, a week after. I mean, it was a week today.
Yeah.
So,
has that been? Yeah. I suppose that's been the defining drama at home then the last few days.
Yeah, it's been. It's been a bit of a shock. And then just doing gigs, did some gigs at the weekend and really enjoyed them. How did your gig on Saturday go?
It was nice
at Brighton.
Because of course the venue was just opening on the Friday and it was late, which is why we did one show late.
Yeah.
We did both the shows on the Saturday.
Right.
It's nice to be down there. The weather was slightly nicer. It's a bit like being at a festival, you know, just a really good scene and that outsideness and everything flowing in together. Trouble is, it does lead to kind of technical stuff, you know, in the late show.
Yeah.
There was a band busking up on the prom, you know, it's down just east of the pier on Madeira Drive.
Right, okay.
And up there on the old Edwardian multi-level seafront bit.
Right.
It was like a blues band playing.
Tally irritated. Yeah.
That was over like 10 years after at Woodstock.
Right.
And they planned this cracking gig. It started off between the gigs and went on totally audibly into the second set, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a small audience of absolutely lovely people, comedians kind of playing right to them in this big space.
Yeah.
And everyone's lovely. But there's just that element of, it's like a festival, you know.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We had a... Careful, it's a bit slippy there.
Yeah.
We had a funny little thing at... I did a gig at Banana Cabaret.
Yeah.
And there's a problem right at the start of the show. there was a problem with the lights that delayed the show.
Yeah.
And then they got the first act on, but some of the lights were sort of still sort of whirring and spinning around, not emitting light, but sort of spinning around. So
yeah.
The audience barely noticed, but yeah. It's like a computer setting, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So before the second act, they decided to get the wonderful woman who hosts the show on to just pad they fix the lights.
Right.
And she's not a comedian at all. She's lovely.
She's
a lovely woman, and she's good at all the admin and all that. But you can't get someone who's not a comic to pad for 10 minutes.
No, that's...
and it was difficult for her and everyone else. And then they couldn't fix the light, so they had to call an interval anyway.
Yeah.
So it was just all a bit slightly chaotic. But the crowd was so lovely.
Yeah.
They just ran the second half with three acts I closed. And it was just really good fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Just really good laugh.
Well,
I feel there's a sort of generosity to the crowds at the moment.
This is what I was just going to say. I think everyone's into it. And the guy I met on the train the other day was saying, a few more months and everyone gets cynical again. And of course, we're cynical old school comedians. But perhaps there's
maybe
part
not.
Of it. If you have this sense that there's something a little bit more kind of post-internet autobiographical kind of... At its most negative end, there's this kind of, oh, it's a lovely hobby, well done you. And its most positive end, it's like, this is our community, we all support each other.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
That's what audiences...
Maybe, yeah.
But, you know, are kind of actively engaged.
I definitely
in a way
felt,
that us, yeah. with our junglers experience, kind of can't quite bring ourselves to trust.
Yeah, I definitely felt it. I definitely felt it, yeah. Over the weekend, yeah. It was really nice.
Yeah, I found that... I've done enough gigs now and enough close enough together
right.
to wake my performer up enough to have
right.
valid opinions, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just looking at things that I thought were really important when I wasn't gigging and thinking, no, that doesn't matter.
Right.
Looking at other things and thinking, oh, no, you've got to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just a slightly clearer
like
sense
what,
of it all.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what?
I don't know. Just thinking, oh, I don't want to do that because just being a bit precious about what I want to be saying and doing.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And realising that the audience don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then other bits that I thought I would do. And
totally, yeah.
Well,
what,
that,
in terms of... Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
What, in terms of material and stuff?
Yeah, in terms of material and sort of... And how the actual gig and the play of the gig affects the material.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things I quite like, I don't know if this has been your experience, years ago, I remember... aging very quickly in comedy.
Right.
And I'll explain that when I started out as a comedian, what was it? I would have been in my mid to late 20s.
Right.
And all my first professional gigs were for students.
Right.
And I wasn't that clear on what my comic voice was, but what little I did know was based on sitting around watching daytime TV, da da da.
Yeah.
So when I first played to those students, I could just talk to them on a level. It just felt like we were all...
Right.
I didn't even think about demographics and
yeah.
similar experiences, you know. Anyway, cut to 5 years later, and I'm more established. I don't only play student gigs anymore, da da da. But I walk into some of the same student unions, and never mind being 5 years older, suddenly...
Yeah,
I was
dad.
A generation.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
yeah.
I got married,
yeah.
had kids,
yeah.
and suddenly... had a much better idea of where I was in life
yeah.
and where they were in life
yeah.
and realising that you're not on the same page. And you know. Anyway, I feel at that time that was a bit of a shock. I didn't mind it, but it wasn't necessarily a positive. But coming back now, I feel the same way, but in a more positive way, because it does feel, of course, coming out of, you know, in this time in the pandemic and post-lockdown, that so many people are out and about are really young.
Yes, they are, yeah.
Because...
They're more comfortable with risk, etc.
Yeah, they're not worried about the risk. The lockdown has affected them the least.
Yeah.
The invitation to come back out is kind of...
Being embraced,
them,
yes,
you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The average age of someone who's just out and about seeing what's going on is more than a generation younger than us.
Seems
you know?
To be about 25, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. Again, I feel that same thing of seeing my own age very clearly, but the difference is I'm really happy with where I'm at and who I am.
Yeah.
And actually say, just in rough terms in these last few days, that I'm really happy to say, hello, 25-year-olds. this is who I am, you know, and that's a fun jumping off point for my act. Whereas when I went to the country and played to people who were more kind of the same age as me, I felt like we had less in common.
All right.
Because I can drift into being unexaminedly kind of right on.
Right.
And people are like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
just one example. You know, for example, I better not mention being a vegan without slagging it off.
Yes, yeah.
And that's fun too, but I enjoyed that sense of the one thing, just feeling like lockdown had made me older in a way that was kind of fun.
It's kind
certainly of clarifying.
It's quite, it's also, your kids are a bridge to that generation, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly, and where their thinking is... Yeah, that's who I've been spending my time with.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar to where your thinking's at anyway.
No,
so there's exactly. No. Yeah, that's it. That's really interesting. Like, yeah.
Which I find, and coming right back around, that makes it easier to be back on stage because, you know, you could feel. On paper, you could worry you're going to feel irrelevant.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
It doesn't. It felt the opposite, really.
Yeah. No, that's great. And it gives them. It'll give them hope as well. Seeing someone from the generation above them who thinks the same as them.
Yeah.
That's nice. Right. That's a nice feeling.
Yeah. And it is, like you said, maybe this positive energy. I mean, maybe it's not just to do with coming out. Maybe it's just what audiences are like these days.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Let's hope so. We'll see. The reality is different gigs are different. You'll get different pockets of the country, you know.
Yes. And that brings us around to... Someone's saying they really enjoyed my story of Friday night. The thing is that rail replacement bus, that's not the first time in my life I've heard a journey like that.
Yeah.
And I do think it might maybe be time to avoid that.
Yeah. It's a bad... it's just a series of bad occurrences that enter that scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bad choices or whatever, or just haphazard circumstance.
Yeah. It will happen... more and more if one just goes on the circuit.
Yeah.
Because they don't really do accommodation anymore.
Yeah.
Less of a problem for you because you rarely opted for it even when...
No, I don't tend to. Yeah. It's the reality is, and it's something that we're adapting to, is that the circuit seems more of a part-time endeavour.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we'll see how it goes in the autumn. But in terms of, like, a sort of full-time calling, as it were...
Yeah.
It looks a little bit harder to sustain, doesn't it?
And again, I feel lucky, because I think that's fairly well-timed for me.
Yeah.
And maybe for us.
Yeah.
Because there is that realisation that if it isn't like that, if you do... You know, my rule used to be more than half as many gigs in a month as there are days in a month.
Right.
You know, okay. So you want to do 15, 18 gigs a month.
Yeah.
You know, and generally, that's any gigs anywhere.
Yeah.
So let's take a sort of average of travel and time and And, of course, it's just a huge commitment.
Yes.
It's very hard to get anything done.
Yeah.
Spent years just feeling guilty about not writing... novels in hotel rooms, you
yes,
know?
Yeah.
But when you've got those gigs, they fill your week. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm very much ready to not be on that page because we've got other stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
We've got books.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of... I've got... The thing about it is I find it so exciting when I do it and it works, but it's sort of... I've just got to keep it in its place.
Yeah.
Like this next week, I've got two gigs on Friday, two on Saturday. They're in Sheffield and Derby.
Yeah.
And the expense to get there.
Yeah.
And the grief around getting back in a way that doesn't ruin my birthday on the Sunday.
Yes.
That has to be a part-time thing.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that when I get there, I won't have new things to say and I'll really enjoy it.
No, it's complicated.
It's just I have to keep it in balance, do you know what I mean?
Exactly. I spent weeks talking to my wife about this time last year. It's about different, you know, putting the faders at different heights.
Yeah.
And I think that the basic one is true and is useful is that the way the circuit is changing sits quite nicely with the way we need it to change in our lives.
Yeah.
We're lucky in that way.
Yeah. And it's also still the summer, and we'll know more in sort of mid-November, won't
that's
we?
That's right. This is all a bit of a kind of a
it's all
test
a bit preemptive, yeah.
Until September comes, and that's before you include what goes on in the world.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's if, yeah. Let me just have a bit of a stretch by here.
I've got a... my next few gigs, again, you know, you do a few gigs together and then you haven't got any. Eleanor said that. She'd come back from doing like 5 gigs in 4 days and told me all about all of them. And then the next time I saw her, I said, do you have any more gigs? And she said, no, none.
Yeah.
It's like a fortnight later. Yeah. So, you know, it's very sporadic.
Yeah, well, I just need some stretches. Yeah,
none the worse for it. And that's what I've got. I've got some big gigs coming up in a nice way, if, assuming Touchwood. If the Green Man goes ahead, I'm doing the long set there, which is a lovely kind of home gig. It'd be such a nice experience. But also be a longer set and a chance to kind of experiment on myself.
Yeah,
and
that'd
the audience.
Be great. That sounds great. Yeah.
And then I'm doing a kind of one night tour. You're doing talking of not travelling to gigs. I'm doing,
you're doing the, 200 yards from you.
Exactly. I'm doing the Mildmay Club, and that's going to be my tour. I'm doing on tour 2021.
Right.
And so I look forward to really. Getting the stage time, but again, you know, still keeping that sense of it being a, you don't want it to be like a hobby, though. I just don't believe in hobbies.
No, well, it can't. The thing
says
is,
the man running through the woods.
No, but it can't be a hobby because you need to be too good at it to maintain it. That's the thing about it. You can't, it's not a hobby, it's still a calling, but it's sort of, you know, when you're restricted to only doing it for, you know, two days a week.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like my age. You've got to do other stuff as well. Which we're doing. I mean, writing, etc. So
yeah,
it's all good.
Podcasts.
Yeah, we do a podcast. We're running commentary every week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
In fact,
sometimes we have extra content.
I have. Yeah, we're generous in that way. Well, I've got a reward I can give you for your birthday, based on that extra content.
Yeah, a run. A run with Rob Deering.
You paid for that. That's bought and paid for. No, listen, do you know what today is?
No.
We're recording our 300th episode.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah. As we speak.
That's pretty special, isn't it?
And let we lose it.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's good, isn't it?
I mean, one a week for 300 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't mess about, do we?
No, we really don't. I mean, I've got it in my head that means we've been going, I know we've been going 5.5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Just goes to show, it's not 6 years, because if you do two extra weeks, 6 years, that's 12 weeks.
Yeah.
All these generous extra episodes we've thrown in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here we are, 300. And all I've got to say about that is, Sparta!
I tell you what, as I say up north, it's not nothing, is it?
Not nothing.
When we started off those awful, was it January when it was... wet and cold, horrendous. And
it
kept not recording.
Yeah. Oh, it took us about 5 weeks to get the first episode.
Yeah.
So many hour long tapes of our asses and shoes.
Yeah.
We should release a few of those as bonus material.
Yeah. I'm actually, I've sort of got a new goal in mind, however distant.
Yes.
It came when I was, I've been thinking a little bit about it, but I did Sheffield the other week and Andy Askins was there.
Yeah.
Who's a lovely, very funny man from, I think he's from the Isle of Man, or he lived there. He's a Geordie. Yeah.
He's very gentle and very dry.
Very gentle, very dry. Extremely dark act.
Yes.
And a very gentle man, so that's
and
a contrast.
Thrown away very lightly. He does everything lightly.
Yeah, he's a brilliant man. Well, anyway, we basically came away from the weekend saying that we were going to do the Marathon de Sable.
Ah.
Which is next March.
Right.
Which is a run across the desert.
Yeah.
That's quite long.
Yes.
And
quite sandy.
Quite. Apparently, it's really sandy.
Susie Chan done it twice.
I think Sophie she's done. I think she's doing it more. Sophie Raworth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think she might have done it a few times actually.
I know that Raworth on the run. Sophie Raworth's Twitter feed. It must be from the Marathon side, but certainly somewhere sandy. Maybe it's just...
Yeah, she's done it.
Croyd.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it just absolutely sums it up, because it's a proper... She's got all the ultra kit. She's running through sand, yeah, doubtless in some boiling hot desert. And she's just got a massive grin on her face.
I know.
Like,
that's
hey,
that's
this is my happy place.
That won't be me.
No.
That's sold.
Which of that's us two is known for running with a massive grin on her face?
Yeah.
It's not you.
Yeah. It's going to be... but I mean, that's sort of why I'm trying to run more.
I feel like I'm sidestepping an invitation here.
Mate, it's there for you, of course. Well, of course it's there for you.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that
you there.
You
fancy doing it? Yeah.
Running.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so it's, I mean...
I just want to say I nearly fell over so badly on the threshold of the toilet.
Did you?
I caught the back of my heel just on the edge. Oh, like that. Oh, it's
right.
Really shaking me up. Okay. I was thinking... I'm sorry, we'll get back to it. But I was thinking on the way out here, I ran past the motorbike that looks like a person.
All right.
And I thought... about that time when I fell over. It's weird there was a moment there a few weeks ago when I kept falling over.
Yes.
I think it's psychological. I think I was in a bad place.
It's sort of... you do get the odd run where you just constantly arse up.
Andy Atkins, Marathon of Sable.
Yeah, I mean it's something he's always wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's something that would be a part of the next book I'm planning on writing.
Yeah. Can you tell us about the book, or is it?
It would be an adventure. It's not signed off yet, but the minute it is, don't worry. We'll be telling people.
Yeah.
And it's an adventure. It's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to do ultras, and I've always wanted to do those. It almost feels a bit of a cliche one, doesn't it? It's like do the Sable. I mean, there's obviously going to be others along the way, but I needed something that was an adventure.
Yeah, and
I think
that's a silly perspective. I know exactly what you're saying, but that's because we know people who've done it. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's always going to be. There are many, many people who've literally never even conceived of this thing, let alone done it.
But it's just
the perspective, and it's like when people say, "Oh, everyone's done the London Marathon." It's like, well, yes and no.
Yeah.
You know?
It's still fantastic to do. I mean, people are a bit sniffy about it because some people say it's the hardest race in the world when it obviously isn't, you know. But obviously the fact it's even mentioned in those terms indicates it's pretty tricky.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The corollary I instantly think of is when you were training for your sub-3 and it was always, you were always comparing yourself with people who'd run 2:40 marathons over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's true and has value and there they are, but... But on the other hand, once you do it, you talk to the world.
Yes.
And everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's all about
perspective,
isn't it?
You maybe have to get near to that perspective to address the thing, but it doesn't mean you should it should negate it.
Yeah, so it's how do you feel when that idea is mooted?
Because
it would be hilarious and fun to have you along. I'd love to have you along.
Yeah.
But I know it's sort of like... distance and chonky knees and
I'm honest, I don't think I could do it.
Right.
I mean, listen,
I don't know whether I can do it.
No, that's not. I think
that's an important, really important caveat.
That's right. I think also it's the kind of thing you've really got to have that fuel in the tank, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you could persuade me to go and I'm fit and I could convince myself that I could do it. And then it could, the very fact that it didn't come from me.
You've got to want to do it.
You've got to want to do it.
Yeah.
And I also really believe, and I try and put this kind of post-it note in the great file effects of my life, is that a marathon is my distance.
Yeah.
And as such, it's slightly too far.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I could probably run marathons better, but I've run them well.
Yeah, I've run them a lot.
I am aware that they are basically, there's a limit there. And, you know, you could argue it in the opposite direction and say, okay, Rob, well, go by your own edicts and change the rules. Move the goalposts and see what happens then. And I think that there's certainly something in it. I mean, there's a very natural journey, which we kind of, we diss it because we're slagging ourselves off for being old. But as pretty fast distance runners of a certain age, there's a possibility, a natural shift into running slower and further.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a sort of, it's this almost irresistible formula, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
I mean, I'm interested to see, because we don't, to greater or lesser degrees, we don't just run marathons. It's racing them, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
We try and race marathons.
Well, I think that
that's hard news, isn't it?
It's kind of ironic. It was really good for us doing the podcast around a marathon.
Yes.
Because particularly for you, it meant you took your eye off the clock.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there was a certain compromised hypocrisy, because we still did it sub four, which means that we still had our eyes on the clock, you know.
But also, it was by far my most enjoyable marathon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Well, that is the rule,
the,
you know.
The collective thing about it.
I think anyone who's ever run a marathon, John Halpin, would completely agree with me when I say, the slower you go, the longer it takes, the happier you'll be at the end.
Right.
I'm joking.
Yeah. It's sort of, so we'll see, but that's where I'm at the moment. So that's
why I'm
trying to run a bit more on.
Don't take anything. I'm just completely thinking off the top of my head, but I don't be too much a hippie about it. But I don't know. I feel very in touch with the ground. I'm more excited about doing the Race to the Stones.
Yeah.
Because I know the land.
Yes.
And this is in a time when, remember, I stopped having a car a couple of years before lockdown.
Yeah.
I've done so much. I kind of run out in wider and wider circles from my house.
Yeah.
And less from gigs, because I haven't been doing the gigs.
Yeah.
And even when you do the gigs, that tends to be more of a UK thing. You know, I've got my regular runs in Manchester,
different parts
and
of the country,
and I haven't got, you know, the fact that I don't know where it is and that the terrain is going to be odd.
It's
not
well, maybe we'll try and do Race of the Stones next year as well.
Well, I think if you can do one, you can do the other.
Roughly,
as long as they're not the day after each other.
Well, the Desables late March. So,
Race of Stones mid-July.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to, part of it is like, I'm going to have to embrace things that I normally don't embrace in order to do it.
Like camels.
sandcastles, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I think you've got this thing down.
Yeah. No, things like gear and taking your food on your run and wearing rucksacks and all that kind of palaver that. So that's part of it.
Someone said the other day, it might have been one of our friends online who has done ultras, was saying about how, yet again, the thing about food, saying ultra is like a running buffet.
Yeah.
And I think that's always been tempting for you. I have to say, that also puts me off.
Yeah. It does for me a little bit, to be honest.
It's twisted and it doesn't matter. But, you know, as looking into the other aspects of my life and my history, a buffet is my nemesis.
Yeah.
I can really get that wrong. I remember that first Bath Half when we were first, I think it was the first summer we were recording, because I think I was coming back from the that cracked rib.
Yeah.
And we did it all for through Comedia with other comedians.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
And I can remember simultaneously being not being fit enough, not being well fueled enough, but also feeling heavy and having eaten too much food. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just the worst of all possible worlds.
Yeah, I mean, it's because you've got to carry the food on your back that you're going to eat during the race. I think they feed you at night and in the morning.
This is why I think your hog roast idea is such a bad one.
Yeah. Who's that bloke with a fridge? There's going to be a lot of testing aspects.
That's a fantastic understatement. As the helicopter flies in back.
I mean, the distance...
So what is it? It's like a week of marathons.
I think it's like 250k in a week.
Yeah.
So it's like 150 miles or blah, blah, blah. You know, details.
You need to go and talk to Susie Chan about this.
Yeah, I will do, yeah. I need to. But the first thing I need to get doing is running just long and slow.
Yeah, yeah.
And just getting used to it and feeling
comfy
with it.
Well, this summer running is perfect for that, isn't
it?
Yeah,
yeah. But I'm still at the moment where, like, you know, 8-9 miles feels fairly comfy, but just getting used to time on my feet. Some people walk the whole thing, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So
let's do a long Sunday run. What are you doing for your birthday?
Well, yeah, the birthday's... I'll do a little run then, but I'm actually... the Heathsiders are doing a long run in the South Downs late August.
Yeah.
But that's people who are... They can run like 50k pretty strong, you know. They're real... But I'm gonna tag on with them and see how far I can run. But I won't run any more than 18 miles. I'm just not fit enough, you know.
Yeah.
But they're running. It's by the. You can see the train track, so the route home is constantly there. So I'll just tail off at the back,
and hitch
chomping a banana, and hitch home. So the whole thing's going to be
so concerned.
The whole thing's going to be an absolute nightmare.
It's going to
be an absolute nightmare. I've had mates have discussed the idea, just saying, don't do it.
Yeah, this man needs a coach. Basically,
don't do it.
You either need a coach or a coach. You either need someone to really put you straight on what you need physically, or you just need a large vehicle to drive you where you need to be.
The coach to couch ultra.
To hospital bed.
Yeah.
This is something I don't want to kind of plot spoil, because it's something I came back up against in my book. It was so crazy how back in the day I've just felt like I had infinite amounts of time.
Yeah.
And my attitude to running, you know, just this sense of, and you can't make this realization any earlier than you make it, but the sense that the time to act in almost any situation is now.
Yes.
You know, and if you're not ready to act, then you need to begin to prepare to act.
Yeah.
The time to begin is now. And I didn't get that. I literally didn't get that until, I don't know how recently, but it was so recently.
Yeah.
Very much time was wasted.
Yes.
Anyway, when I started running and started just considering maybe doing a half marathon or a marathon.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll do the New York Marathon by the time I'm 50.
Yeah.
And I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
It's like, mate.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? The world might end before then.
Should we go on and do the sort of diagonal? Quite like that one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, just get on with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't imagine how I came up with that. And sure enough, it's okay, because I did get over it, and I've done the New York Marathon, I've done a bunch of other marathons, you know. But anyway, coming full circle, I do hit that milestone. I get my half century next year.
Yeah.
So it is going to be an interesting year of things.
It's
and I've got my New York Marathon place, by the way.
Right.
Which will come in just before. And I believe you've got yours.
Right. Okay.
And that comes in just before my 50th. So obviously we'll have to see what's going on. But the pencil version is that we go and podcast that
and do it. Yeah,
I don't particularly want to smash it, but I'd like to finish it happier than last time.
Yes.
It wasn't a great
I think you'll find I think 50 is quite a reflective... I did find it quite a reflective milestone, 50.
Yeah.
There we go, 5-0.
But then... I think I've been
aren't
doing
they all?
I do a lot of reflecting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not short on
but
reflection.
Anyway, I am on... I was heading for, before the lockdowns and the cancellations, I was looking at 3 marathons a year for 2 years.
Yeah.
And that takes me to 20 marathons. I'm slightly behind on that now.
Right.
I've done 15 marathons.
Yeah.
I've got a year and a half. No, just over a year. I've got one more marathon.
We've got
no,
London.
Two more marathons lined up in the autumn.
Yeah.
Get me back up to 17, which is where I was supposed to get to in 2020. I suppose what I'm really asking, and it's so stupid that it's even a question, is would the Race to the Stones count as 2 marathons? No, it wouldn't.
Of course,
it's a completely different kind of event.
Of course it would. Yeah.
So if I can't get my head around that counting, then that means I have to... we're going a different way through the woods. It's really throwing me off. It's exciting, but...
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I like to mix and match. This is the new...
You say you like to mix and match, but that is actually not accurate. You like to run in exactly the same place every time.
Yeah, but...
And the fact that you're running somewhere different
is... we're running a bit different now.
It's a thrill.
Yeah.
But it's... on the other hand, I don't know where we are.
Yeah, so here we do. Here we go.
6-1.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Beautiful.
See, this bit.
Beautiful day.
Yeah.
For a run.
So what do you think I should do? Marathon to start, Race to the Stones, 3 more marathons?
I think you should...
do them all.
I think you should think about... I think you should see how London and Yorkshire go.
Yeah.
See how you feel. I think we can... Should we go this way? Really messing up.
Whoa.
Because that's the way we come up. Really messing it up.
Yeah, nice. New pass through the old woods.
Yeah.
It's like a metaphor, isn't it?
I think
short term...
I think the thing that's often put you off about the possibility of long running, as indeed for me, is whether your body can take it.
Yeah.
Is it just as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got this calf thing that is getting better. I still haven't actually got myself some compression socks, which is a complete no-brainer.
Yeah.
I really need to sort that out. But I do like when I go for a run, I do like this idea of searching for a slow but comfy pace that you can go.
Yeah.
That you can. I just really enjoy that kind of running, you know.
No, and I think when you look at it that way, it's like all these things. I'm already on that road, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so much more used to running. I used to just religiously run 7 miles every time I went out.
Yeah.
And also, I can remember, this is a few years ago now, but it was in the marathon era, being so worried about running 2 days together.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, much more open to the triple of it not really mattering how far you go, which includes going quite far.
Yeah.
It's totally okay to run slow or slower or mix up your paces.
Yeah.
And also just to mix up the when and what of your running.
Yeah.
And of course, psychologically, you need to break the back of that. But when you do, it's really good training.
Yeah, I mean,
so I'm definitely stronger for this stuff than I would have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe even before that, despite the fact that there was a time of kind of mythical fitness and PBs and stuff, it was still a kind of, if not a young man's, certainly a young runner's attitude. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think if I tried to run further then at those kind of in those kind of snatchy speedy ways, then I'd have snapped something, you know.
Yeah, I mean part of the negotiation I'm making now with running is the fact that I'm just not going to get faster.
Yeah,
there's nothing that I've done at pace that I'm going to get faster at.
No, and the thing is,
and that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. You can kind of think of that as a negative, but it's fine. It's because you smashed it.
Yeah, it's fine. So I'm okay with that, but at the same time, you want a bit of a challenge. So yeah, we'll see. It'd be great if we did the marathon to Sable, because you could carry my stuff.
Great.
Yeah, because you'd be a bit younger.
Yeah, so. I see. I understand.
Yeah.
No, but in a weird kind of way, it's true. I'm so much more geared up for running with a backpack on than you.
Yeah, I'll have to get used to all that.
You're about limbs.
Yeah.
And I'm a tank.
It's all in the training, isn't it? You have to get used to that kind of stuff. It's like me to just say, I'll leave it till the day.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, it's that weird thing about tech. I mean, again, from a it's not our mindset. It's not really a running mindset. It's kind of a hippie mindset. You want to just go clean and free.
Yeah.
And what you don't want to do is, some people love doing activities that involve all kinds of tech. You know, I love climbing. I used to think that I was going to get into rock climbing. But one, I don't like all that kit.
Right.
And two, scared of heights.
Yeah, same here.
So really, and it's not that I wouldn't be into it, it's just that I'd want a boulder, you know, and
climb
hands-free just near the ground. And that's, but the thing about the tech is, you've got to get past that because it's also ergonomic, you know. That blooming hydration vest backpack I've got.
Yeah.
It just works really well. So when you're wearing it, you don't know you're wearing it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. It's quite easy to get used to.
You're going to need to be able to carry your water to the next station.
Also, while we're on it, talking of being right on, I think it's about time someone made a really big feature. I feel like the events really want to do it and they know about it, but they do bottle because it's expensive and difficult and they also don't want to tell runners what to do. But I think it's about time for a major event to go single-use plastic free.
Yeah.
It's happening more and more, you know what I mean? Down in Brighton, you buy yourself a drink of water. Even if you're buying a one-off drink of water from a shop, if it comes in a can, that's much easier to recycle, you know?
Yeah.
And then refillable water bottles. London Zoo don't have any plastic bottles. They sell them all in cardboard cartons. And that was one of the reasons I got a hydration vest, was so as not to use plastic bottles on the course.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that
it's only a matter of time before.
It's only a matter of time, but someone does need to make the jump. You know, some big event needs to go, sorry everyone, but this is this now.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, like you say, it's one of those ones which even quite recently people would have not even thought of it, but now, sure, not that many people necessarily are acting on it, but you all know
it's going to get pretty.
That single use plastic bottle is a phrase that people have,
it's going to get pretty mainstream pretty soon, I think.
Right.
Yeah,
having said that, I've got a joke about a single use plastic water bottle in my comedy set, but this single use plastic water bottle I use for the joke, I think I've had for 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Sable will involve dissolvable sachets and mission-style kind of salts and potions.
Hey, you should totally, that's really interesting.
Yeah. I'll be needing my cold teas to keep me going for that one.
Yeah.
And you got to wear loads of, you got to get your sunscreen out, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really should.
You can't northern it up in the Sahara. I've decided to just brave it. Yeah.
I'm doing this like a Glaswegian builder.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna take my top off.
Yeah.
And get started.
Get the
tap off.
Get the tinnies out. Run long. Run slow, but I enjoy the sort of the moderate surging of the park run.
Oh yeah,
I enjoyed it because it's just a different way. But it wasn't sort of, I wasn't like running hell for leather, but it was just sort of testing the ability of my body to run a little bit faster.
To push,
just push a little bit. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting what you said about you know, all the PBs over certain distances being there, because I have a slight what's the word, but it's sort of an anomaly there.
Yeah.
Because of my 10K.
Yeah.
Of course, my 10K, I think, oh yeah, all my PBs were when I was much fitter and faster in 2014.
And then you come out with this one.
Well, that's the part of it, is that I think if I chased the 10K PB at that time, I'd have got a much faster one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
I left it.
Yeah.
Unassailed.
Yeah.
Which means that I say anomalously, it's got to be within my power.
Yeah.
So that's where it starts for me this summer, is to try and get my fastest ever official 10K.
So have you got some 10Ks in the diary then?
I got a 10K doing the Regent's Park 10K in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And that'll be my first grab at it. Although I assume I just was aware enough immediately of how I just was obviously in just the right place for that one the other day, because I thought, well, this feels great. You know?
Yeah.
Just knowing enough to know that they're not always going to feel like that. But the time
But the Regent's Park should be quite flat, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said about the other one, there's a certain kind of terrifying impact to doing it on the complete flat.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you've not got serious gradient.
Yeah.
A little bit of mild dynamism to the course.
Can help, yeah.
It gives you a bit of... Yeah, it gives you a toehold on the thing. So, that, of course, does not really count as training towards ultramarathons, let alone...
Well, no, but it helps, though. It really helps.
Ultras.
It really helps for...
It does help.
...an ultramarathon.
Yeah.
That's just like a really good... Obviously, it's a race for you, but it's great as part of a training program.
Yeah. And then I'm going to do... I've got a half marathon later in August.
Yeah.
The one that's connected is London Marathon, the big half.
Right.
And I'd like to try and run that at pace.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that time's going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the difficult bit, the good bit with that is I'm going to stick a fast 10 in my diary.
Right.
And I say the challenge there is that won't be an event.
Right, okay.
So I have to use the inspiration of the 10K and the half, and indeed park runs.
Yeah.
Running with other people and getting that pace up and try and head out
this is just once
and do the same thing on my own.
This is all really good, solid training, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I still need to work out how I'm going to do London Marathon. I think I'm going to run it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's whether I run it, as seems likely, slow and chatty.
Yeah.
Run compod on manoeuvres.
Yep, yep.
Seems the most likely way of doing it.
It feels it's a bit of a, it doesn't really help us, but it feels a bit of a shame to me that Yorkshire and London aren't the other way around.
Yeah.
Because it'd be nice.
Because you could have run Yorkshire Fast. And
yeah, running Yorkshire Fast is something, it's a really nice marathon for that and have experience with that. And then me and you running London as a kind of chatty communal thing would be wonderful. But it's the wrong way around.
Yeah, and we've done it as well. It's nice to do new things.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we've just had a nice little loop this morning discussing various plans. We've had loads of listeners running ultras. Hutchinson ran the Endure 24 a while ago, which we didn't mention. Well done, he ran that.
Fantastic.
Wasn't it really bad conditions?
The weather was absolutely terrible.
Yes.
So I think Kevin's was that weekend as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well done. They're going to find it so amusing.
And there's
my approach to the. Just me doing an ultra.
Just everyone.
People are going to find it terrifying. So
but I think you're just... I think what it really is you need to hear yourself saying this sort of stuff all out loud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the old...
Say it, see it, become it, do it, fall over.
Yeah, what's it? Conceive. You're at the conceive stage.
Yes, yeah.
And now you need to believe.
Yeah. Conceive, perceive.
In the meantime, we're going to get you some blooming advice.
Yeah. Conceive, perceive, relieve, achieve.
We got a message from... Oh, damn it. I looked at the glance of this morning and remembered it.
God damn it.
I want to say Kevin Willoughby, and the funny thing is, apologies Kevin Willoughby, if that totally isn't your name at all.
Yeah.
But just a bit tired, and I just read it
a
while ago now. Anyway, he sent a nice message and a nice, bought us a coffee on the sports page.
Oh, that's nice of him. Thank you.
Said,
thank you.
So thanks for the episodes with the consistent comedy and the occasionally legitimate advice. And I don't think we can
that's quite a nice byline, that, isn't it?
Well, I thought it was funny already, and that was before I heard you talk in ultra.
Yeah.
But I think being me and hearing it saying it out loud, that if I am going to do the Race of the Stones, I have to do two other marathons as well.
Yeah.
I just don't think it counts.
Yeah. No, it doesn't, because it's a different event.
I know, in terms of mileage it does, but it's a different event.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's a shame.
So we're taking on a bit to...
And also...
We're taking on a bit to chew.
I do think, and I'm not... I don't want to be in any one, my book is just coming out, so it's the beginning of an interesting road for me.
Yeah.
And two, I don't want to tread on the toes of the project that you're clearly at the very beginning of. Because one of the things about these 300 episodes of Running Commentary is that we, in an oblique way, lived through your journey to your Something Mountain in your first book.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah,
that
yeah,
was,
yeah.
That was fantastic for the for the show, apart from anything else.
Yeah.
But I do think that we need to, sooner or later, find someone who will commission us to write something together. And when I say together, definitely a take it in turns book.
Right.
I want it to be the parkrun tourism book, but...
Yes, yeah.
I don't know. Like you said, I don't know if anyone wants that, including parkrun.
Yeah. There has been a couple of books about the parkrun, hasn't there?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that that's the thing. We might need to go unofficial, you know?
Yeah.
Strictly unauthorised.
Yeah.
But I think that as things open up again, and maybe it's the... It still feels like on our timelines, parkrun is the biggest thing in the world, and then sort of talking to the wider world because of, like, you know, news angles to do with the trying to get writing jobs and stuff as the book comes out.
Yeah.
And you're kind of news desk editors, like, yeah, parkrun, but everyone's talking about the Olympics. And I don't know if that's true.
No, I don't think they are that much.
In my community, I would say that's exactly wrong. At the weekend,
yeah,
parkrun was the thing, and the Olympics is like, oh, okay. Yeah, you know.
It's because parkrun isn't just about athletics, is it?
No, it very
or
much
running.
Isn't.
It's the community thing is massive.
Yeah, it's huge. And then add to that getting back out there and the fact that we have as a pair, we've got a kind of a perfect grounding in parkrun tourism, in that you haven't done it, I sort of have.
Yeah.
But we're ready
to
get out there and do it, you know.
To embark, yeah.
And I'd love to.
I'll be looking at somewhere up north this weekend near Thirsk. I think it's the Appleby parkrun's the closest. Let's start it.
Aren't you going to go to Martin's Parkrun if you're up in the north?
Yeah, that's. I had a look at that. That's Sowerby.
Yeah.
It's quite a long way from Thirsk. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Especially
if
I've got 2 gigs a day before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one that I'll hopefully make at some point. But
we have to be realistic about our Saturday.
Yeah, that's a sort of...
That was incredible. It was funny that this thing, talking about it now, that this Saturday just gone was such a quintessential parkrun experience for me.
Yeah.
You know, parkrun where the closer it got, the more of a ridiculous endeavour it seemed.
Yeah.
Because of the bedtime and the weather.
Yeah.
The only thing, I suppose, these days is I didn't soften the rail replacement bus by drinking my way through.
No, you did well,
so there was at least that.
Yeah. How is the booze?
Oh, Steve, play the drinking commentary. Well, it's right on the line. I'm drinking most days.
All right, okay.
But I drink in moderation.
Yeah, that's...
So, you know, 6
progress.
Months. Is it?
Progress, yeah.
Is it, though?
I don't Acceptance. Know. Yeah. I'm actually drinking on a lot less days. I'm drinking about probably 2 days a week.
Yeah.
But still between probably about 1.5 bottles each day when I do that.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I have to say, when I say
ideal.
I'm drinking in moderation, I just pictured my wife's face listening to this, raising an eyebrow at me and saying, what are you calling moderation?
Yeah. But hardly ideal, but better than it has been.
Yeah, and it's being realistic about what you want, you know.
Yeah.
What, this thing about coming back and doing gigs, which I love, enjoying comedy and seeing people and stuff, but really, there's also an element, and as we're getting towards the end of this run, I think I do need to say this out loud so I can hear it, is... You know, I think in this last couple of months, I've been quite shaken with the way... We're just not ready for these changes.
Yeah, yeah, of
Because my
course.
2020 reset was good.
Yeah.
And now I'm making my peace with what's happening in summer 2021.
Yeah.
Stop falling over quite as much.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
went
yeah.
Went on my holiday and had my...
The whole coming out sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that I can go right back and say, but remember... that this time last year, I turned around and said, that's what I want to do. I want to be a runner and a writer.
Yeah.
And suddenly realised that there wasn't some imagined Murakami figure. It was me.
Yes, yeah.
There's just a slightly difficult Hemingway element to that model.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need it to be Byronic.
Yeah.
But it does seem to...
Drink to remember.
I'm doing lots of exercise, lots of fitness, lots of running, lots of good eating, writing, cultural endeavours at home. There is something very welcome about the preprandial in that whole situation.
I'm at the stage where I'm really don't enjoy hangovers.
Yeah.
But when I drink, I do like to drink.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. So.
I don't see. You know. I think it's sort of. It feels unrealistic to stop. It doesn't feel like. It doesn't feel like it's what I really want. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to be.
Yeah.
There's obviously got to be a sort of line.
You're good at stopping for an event, aren't you? You're quite good at that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And there isn't a deadline for that now. So the idea of stopping completely, it means I can do like a day or 2 days. And then you get to the day when you really want to and you think, well, I can't
just have a chance.
What's the point of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. It's the second day.
I can do
1 day.
Yeah. Well, my wife's incredible resolve on Monday morning not to drink all week. And I just say to her, Wednesday. And then by Wednesday, she's back on it.
Yeah,
and so am I, to be fair. We're on a Wednesday-Sunday sort of vibe. Because that fits in with the gig, post-gigs as well.
Yeah. Well, now gigs are back, exactly. You've got your Sunday, you know. Is Oddbins open again?
Oddbins will never open again.
Oddbins is gone,
so it's sort of...
That's a change, because I thought you were going to carry that on kind of like a flatbed across the desert.
Yeah. Sponsored by... Have you seen that boat? It's sponsored by Oddbins.
He's
got
not.
A tent to himself. There's a lot of shouting. Gets lost a lot. Yeah, you don't want to get lost here. I think that's a key thing. Don't get lost in the Sahara.
Yeah, that's always been good advice.
Yeah. Yeah, the Tonks advice around ultras is going to be pretty basic.
Hey, happy 300th episode. Happy birthday.
Oh, mate. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. My birthday's on Sunday. 52 years old. 300 episodes is great. I didn't know that when we met up to that. It's lovely.
No,
isn't
I didn't
tell you. It's really nice, isn't it?
It's good. Well done, us.
It's a milestone.
Yeah.
Run with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.